Well, first of all, I want to apologize for changing the message for this Sunday. The past 2-3 weeks has been quite busy for me, in a sense that 2 weeks ago I had some heart issue. I had to go to the hospital, was warded for 4 days. And just when I thought that I was recovering, last week I had a very bad flu. Well, thank God I am able to preach today, but I was not well enough to prepare for a new sermon. So in the end, I had to reuse one of my old sermons for today. So I trust that you will bear with it. But nevertheless, I believe that all things work together for good and that God will use what I'm going to preach today to minister to you. Now, this morning, we're going to consider from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. When I was in Charismatic Church many years ago, I was told that as Christians, if you have faith in God, you will not forsake. You will experience success in life, be it in your studies, in your work, in your family. You know, now as I think back to those days, I really wish it were true. I really wish it was true that if we have faith in God, we will not experience all these problems in life. But we know from the Word of God that this is not so. In fact, sometimes it is exactly because we are Christians that we tend to suffer more than other non-believers. We see this in the case of Job, and we also see this in the case for the Thessalonians. The persecutions that they experienced were far more difficult than what we can ever imagine today. Many of them in those days, they probably lost everything. Now, thankfully, here in Singapore, we are spared from many of these fiery trials that we often read about in the scripture. But even though this may be so, sufferings and afflictions has always been part and parcel of our life. You may not face persecution for your faith, but you do face hostility from the world from time to time when you try to live out the Word of God in your life. Furthermore, you have to deal with the many common struggles in your life. And these common struggles comes in the form of perhaps our long-term illness, from the many problems at work, from the many problems in our relationship with our loved ones, with our friends, or even the pain of losing someone who is very close to us. But no matter what these struggles are, one thing is clear, they are not easy to bear with. And sometimes, to be frank, we do not know how to respond to all these problems in our life. What should we do when we go through these difficult times in our life? Should we wash ourselves with tears daily? Do we drown ourselves with grief and sorrow? Or should we remain stoic in the face of affliction? Well, the Apostle Paul was aware of all these questions that probably went through the minds of the Thessalonians as well. He knew that they and their loved one, they were struggling with the many problems in their life. And therefore, having instructed them about, you know, how to respond to the church leaders and how to respond to those who trouble them in verse 12 to verse 15, he now moved on to instruct them about how they should respond to the very difficult times that they were living in. And he says to them, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, there are three instructions given here. Rejoice evermore, always praying, and giving thanks in all circumstances. Now, before I go into the details of these instructions, I feel that it is important for me to point out something for you to understand. You see, when Paul tells us all these things, that in the midst of afflictions, rejoice, pray, and give thanks, please do not imagine that Paul was instructing the believers like the way, you know, some doctors talk to their patients. What do I mean by this? As you may have experienced for yourselves, well, not thank God not all doctors are like this, but some doctors tend to speak to their patient in a very clinical manner. without any desire to really understand how the patient feel or what they're going through. They just tell the patient, this is your problem, this is what you need to do. But this was not the case with the Apostle Paul. When he spoke to the Thessalonians, he was speaking to them as a pastor, as a shepherd who truly cared for them and had their welfare at heart. Paul was speaking to them not as one who did not understand what they were going through, but as one who knew exactly what they were going through, because he himself was no stranger to these very same trials that they were facing. So please bear this in mind when you consider what Paul is going to say. All right? So with this in mind, let us now look at the three instructions that he gave to God's people, because this is what God wants them to do, wanted them to do during their present crisis. First of all, Paul instructed the Thessalonians to always rejoice. Now, to the people of the world today, the words of the apostles here does not make any sense. Why? Because based on their own understanding and experience, you only rejoice when your hopes are realized. You only rejoice when things go the way that you wanted to. But this was not the case with the Thessalonians. They had lost almost everything by this time. And they were presently going through very hard times because of their faith. And there was no indication that they would soon be delivered from their problems. So, what were they supposed to rejoice in? Humanly speaking, it seems so unnatural for them to keep rejoicing under such circumstances. Now this morning, perhaps, there may be some of you who are having this same question in your heart. Perhaps you're also going through some difficult times in your life. And you wonder, how is it possible for you to rejoice under such circumstances? Now, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let me say this to you. If we look at the circumstances around us in the same way as the people of the world does, then it is true that we have no reason to rejoice. In other words, if the only source of joy and comfort that we have lies in what we have in this world, in the successes that we have in our studies, in our career, if it lies in our health, in our material possessions, then once all these things are taken away from us, we will lose the only reason why we can remain joyful in this world. But this should not be the case with us if you are truly a child of God. Because the ground of our joy lies beyond what we have and what we can see in this world. What do I mean by this? You see, we can continue to be joyful because nothing can separate us from the love of God. There will never come a time when His loving care no longer reaches us. Despite of our circumstances, He will always be there to watch over us, to help us, and to lead us as our loving Heavenly Father. As Paul himself reminds us in Romans 8:38-39, he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, besides this, we can also continue to rejoice in the midst of difficulties because no matter what happens to us, nothing can change the glorious prospect that we have in Christ Jesus. You see, today, if you are a somebody in the world, and I thank God that there are many somebody in this congregation. Today, if you are a somebody in the world, people will treat you differently. For example, if you are the CEO of a very successful company, a global company, and you're doing very well, then people will treat you very well. You get paid well, you get respected by people, and they will listen to what you have to say. But what happens if suddenly the market tumbles because of some unforeseen events, and your company's financial situation falls rapidly from blue to red? And what happens if, despite your best effort, you are unable to turn the situation around? Very likely, you will lose everything that you once enjoyed. The position that you once had in your career, the respect from people around you, and whatever privileges that you once enjoyed. In other words, within a short time, you will turn from a somebody to a nobody. This is what it means to be a person in the world. But this is not the case if you are today a child of God. Because no matter what happens around us, we will never lose our place in the family of God. We are still His children. And the privileges that we once enjoyed as His children, we will continue to enjoy. This includes the wonderful promise of glorification, which points to the day when we will receive the glorious resurrected body that surpasses all that we've experienced. It includes the wonderful promise of restoration, which points to the day when God will restore back to us all that we have lost for His sake. In fact, the Bible says that God will restore back to us more than what we have lost for His sake. It includes the wonderful promise of reward, which again points to the day when God will reward us for all that we have done for His sake, including how we have served Him and how we have lived for Him faithfully in our lifetime. And finally, it includes the wonderful promise of exaltation, which points to the day when we will be raised incorruptible, and then we will be raised to the right hand of God, and we shall rule the world together with our Lord Jesus Christ. All these promises that God has given to us will never change, regardless of what is happening around us in this world. Because God is faithful. He is all-powerful. All that He has promised us, He will fulfill them in His good time. This is why the Apostle Paul could exhort the Thessalonians that despite of their circumstances, they should continue to rejoice. Their real comfort and their joy was never based on the temporal things of the world, but rather on the glorious prospect that awaits them. Now this morning, what about you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ? May I ask you, where is the true source of your joy and comfort in life? If, like the people of the world, your comfort and joy in life is only founded upon what you have and what you can become in this world, then you will never be able to find that lasting joy in your life. This is because whatever this world can offer to you will always be uncertain. It will always be temporal in nature. This includes the present success that you now enjoy in your career, your present good health, the present warmth of your family, the respect that you're currently having from others around you. And when all these things that you rely so much on your comfort, for comfort and joy, are finally taken away from you one day, please tell me, what remains for you? You have nothing left. But as I mentioned earlier on, this should never be the case, because we are children of God. Our true happiness and comfort lies beyond this world, in the eternal city of the Lord, which remains forever and ever. Therefore, no matter what happens to us in this life, we can always continue to rejoice, because we know that we will become what we will become and what we will inherit in the future. These are the things in our lives that will remain unchanged in an ever-changing world. Now, moving on, The apostle says that we have to pray without ceasing. Many of us are quite accustomed to the idea that, you know, to pray is to present our petitions before the Lord. But this is correct. You know, we have seen numerous examples of God's people seeking help and praying to God for help. For example, when Nehemiah was aware of the plight of the Jews in Judea, in Jerusalem, and he was greatly saddened by it, we read that he prayed to the Lord to grant him an opening to relieve the burdens of the brethren in Jerusalem. Similarly, when Judah was threatened by a large army comprised of the Moabites and the Ammonites in 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat also turned to God in prayer for help. So from these examples, we can say that yes, asking God for help, for guidance, for provision, you know, is indeed part and parcel of what it means to pray to God. And I believe that in this aspect, we are no strangers. Because we always pray for our families, right? We pray for their health, we pray for their safety, we pray for their success, and whatever they have endeavored upon, you know, we pray that God will bless them. And we also pray that for ourselves, that God will help us in our career, heal our illness, and many other requests. Now, there's nothing wrong when we pray for all these things, for our loved one, for ourselves. But this morning, I want you to just sit down quietly and ponder over all these prayer requests that you have presented to the Lord all these years. Do you realize that many of these prayer requests has to do with the temporal needs of this world? I'm not saying that it's wrong, but when is the last time we pray for our own spiritual needs? For example, knowing that we are apt to forget God in our life, right? This is a problem for many of us. We tend to forget God. How often do we pray that God will keep us close to Him in every day? To pray that God will help us to always remember His will for us in our life. Or how often do we pray that the Lord will help us to remember what we have read in the Bible and grant us the wisdom to apply His words in our life? When is the last time we pray for greater strength and determination in our life so that we may overcome certain sins and become more obedient to His word? You know, I've only listed down some of these spiritual needs that we have, but we know that there are many more. And there are many things that we need to ask God for help in our life so that we may live a life that is pleasing in His sight, that we can become a blessing to the people around us. How often do we pray for these things in our life? You see, someone once said this, and I fully agree. He says that the more you know yourself, the more you will want to pray. Why? Because you realize how weak you are. You realize how helpless you are without Christ. And I fully agree, as I mentioned. The problem is that many a times we say that we understand our own weaknesses, but in reality, we do not understand how weighty our needs are. Because if we truly understand our weaknesses, how needy we are, we will always come to Him to pray and ask for help. But having said that, it is also important for us to be aware that prayer is not just about presenting our petitions to God. It is also about communion with God, all right? And this can be seen from the many psalms that David has composed. You know, these psalms are not just songs to be sung. They're actually prayers that David offered to God as he went through many experiences. And so in these psalms, you can see how he sought help from God, how he praised God for who He is, how he acknowledged God's faithfulness and expressed his longing and love for God. In other words, the psalms were psalms of communion and fellowship with God. And this is what Paul had in mind as well, that when he exhorted us to pray without ceasing, he was not just saying that we need to keep asking God for help. He was saying that we need to keep a close relationship with God. We need to keep close to Him. And all the more as we navigate through the very difficult times in our life. You may say that, wow, but that's very difficult because I'm a very busy man. I'm so busy in my work. I don't even have time for my own loved ones. Yeah? Sometimes this is what we say, right? We're so busy. We don't even have time to really spend time with God, you know? But is it really the case? If you think carefully about it, you will realize that this is not so. Because communing with God daily does not take up much time, really. Compared to the many things that you do in your workplace, in your school, and whatever. The real problem is not whether we have time for God or not. The real problem is about priority. Whether we believe that spending time with God and communing with Him is really important or not. Because we will always find time to do the things that we believe is important in our life. This is a fact that will not change. So this morning, do you value your relationship with God? Do you understand how important it is to keep even closer to God in the midst of difficulties? If you do, then commit yourself to seek God in prayer, to pray without ceasing, to commune with Him without ceasing. And when you do that, God will give you the strength to rejoice always, because He will remind you of His love for you, as well as the glorious prospect of what is to come for you. And finally, Paul gives us one last instruction on how we should respond to our present affliction. He says in verse 18, "In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, this verse reminds me of an elderly lady from the Chinese service who one day came to speak to me concerning this verse. You see, years ago, this elderly lady, she lost her only daughter to suicide. The daughter, I think she was suffering from some kind of a mental illness, all right? And then later on, she committed suicide. And the mother was very saddened by it because she loved the daughter very much. And so one day she came to me with anguish because she read this verse. And she said, "The death of my daughter is so painful for me. How can I still thank God for her death? I cannot do it. How to thank God for the death of my daughter? I cannot do it." And so I had to correct her understanding. I said, "Dear sister, the Apostle Paul did not say to you, 'For everything give thanks.' Rather, he said what? 'In everything give thanks.'" And there is a big difference. There's a big difference. You see, Paul is not telling you to give thanks for your sufferings, for your pain, for your illness. That's not what Paul is saying. He's not saying, "For everything give thanks." He's not saying that. What he's saying is that in everything, in every circumstances, be thankful, because there will always be things to thank God for, even in the darkest of night. This is what he means. In every situation, in every circumstances, be thankful, because there are things to be thankful for. For example, in the case of the Thessalonians, they could be thankful to God despite what they were going through, because God was always in control of the situation. Their lives were not left to chances, nor were they dependent on the mercies of their persecutors. They could be thankful despite what they were going through, because God's grace was sufficient for them. He would ensure that they will not be tested beyond what they were able to bear. He will not allow them to face the enemies without His help. They could be thankful despite what they were going through, because God was always there to help them. And finally, they could also be thankful despite what they were going through, because all that they have lost for God's sake, they will regain them one day. God who gave them the promise that He will restore all that they had, will surely do it. And this includes their loved ones. He assured them that they will definitely meet again one day. And this applies to us as well today. Like them, we can and we should learn to give thanks to God in all circumstances. Because no matter how dire our circumstances are today, God is still in control. And this is something that you must always remember. Not to let the problems in your life become so big that you no longer see God. I like this illustration that someone gives, that, you know, just because the sky has turned dark and all that you see before you are thunderclouds, It doesn't mean that the sun is no longer there. The thunder clouds might have sort of hidden or hide the sun away from you for a moment, but the sun is always there. Yes, no matter how difficult your situation is today, remember, God is still in control. He still rules from His heavenly throne. And the promises that He has given to you still remains firm and unshakable. As I mentioned, He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will ensure that His grace is sufficient for you. And He will ensure that all things eventually will work together for your good. And so, with Him guiding us and watching over us in our life, we all have reasons to be thankful, even in the darkest of night. Finally, we come to the last part of verse 18. He says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Yes, my brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning the message is not for someone else. It is not for your friend, for your brothers, or for your sisters in Christ. It is for you. For the Word of God says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, many a time when we talk about the will of God, we always wonder, what is the will of God for me? And we sort of try to search the will of, to understand the will of God. Sometimes I find it funny because, you know, we go all over the place searching for the will of God. And yet, we ignore the very clear will of God that is displayed before us in the Word of God. He says here, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what is the will of God for you this day as you go through difficult times? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. May God strengthen your faith so that you will be able to do all these things and God will see you through. He will grant you His help and you will experience His peace and His joy. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much this morning for helping us to understand your word. Father, you know all the difficult problems that we face in life, the pains that is in our hearts, the cries and the sorrows that we have are not hidden from you. And because you know us so well, you have granted us the correct recipe for what we should do in times of sorrow. Not to drown ourselves in tears of sorrow, or to pretend to be very stoic like some people does. But Lord, help us to respond correctly by rejoicing, by praying, by giving thanks to you. For truly, we can do all this because we have a true and living God. You are the true and living God. You are the one sitting above, ruling from a throne. And even till this day, you have never lost control. You are the sovereign God. Because of this, we can be confident that whatever happens, it will be for our good. Because all things work together for good. So, Father, strengthen our faith this day as we listen to your word. And help us to apply your words in our life. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.